The Masters are done, but a deal between the PGA Tour and the Public Investment Fund is not. Wrexham is getting promoted again, and we're catching up with two beloved former Philadelphia Eagles, DeSean Jackson and LeSean McCoy. It's Monday, April 15th. Happy Tax Day. I'm Owen Poindexter, and this is Front Office Sports Today. The Masters concluded on Sunday with Scottie Scheffler winning the tournament for the second time. He takes home $3.6 million out of the $18 million prize purse for his victory. The tournament is an individual one, of course, but there are two unofficial teams at the event. This was one of the rare events that brought PGA Tour golfers and LIV golfers together. While LIV does have some of the best golfers in the world, they weren't able to assert themselves at the Masters. The Masters is an example of what the golf world is trying to get back to, with all the top players playing against each other. But over 4 months after breezing past a self-imposed deadline, the PGA Tour and Saudi Arabia's Public Investment Fund, which funds LIV, have yet to strike a deal, and it's not at all clear that they ever will. In the meantime, it matters that PGA Tour golfers held off the LIV golfers at the Masters, because PGA Tour events still crush LIVs when it comes to viewership. So this was LIV's chance to make an impact while the golf world was watching. With the PGA Tour getting a $1.5 billion investment from a collection of sports team owners in January, we may be nearing the point where the PIF needs a deal more than the PGA Tour does. Wrexham FC clinched its second promotion in a row over the weekend and will graduate to League One next season. When the 159-year-old soccer team was purchased by Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney in 2020 for $2.5 million, it felt like little more than some rich Hollywood types having a little fun with their money, not unlike the group of Brooklyn bargoers who recovered recently, who purchased a third-tier Danish soccer team. The plucky underdog narrative was ramped up through the FX docuseries Welcome to Wrexham, whose third season starts in May, and that spike in notoriety has led to sponsorship deals with United Airlines and Expedia, among others, and a 75% leap in revenue for the fiscal year ending last June to $13 million. However, that revenue increase came with a comparable increase in losses, up to $6.4 million. The team has said that the losses were a temporary measure to accelerate their growth. And with the back-to-back promotions, they have made good on that. They will play next season in England's third tier with a chance to become only the 10th English team to pull off three promotions in a row, and the first to have a streak like that land them in the Champions League. Up next, I spoke with retired NFL stars DeSean Jackson and LeSean McCoy. They have their own podcast now, as well as some other dealings in the business world. We talk about all of that and their thoughts on today's NFL, and that's coming up next. All right, I'm joined now by former Philadelphia Eagles DeSean Jackson and LeSean McCoy. Welcome, DeSean. Welcome, LeSean.
What's going on? Thanks for having us.
So you two recently launched a new podcast, The 2510 Show. We're in an age when more and more athletes are finding their voices, their platforms. What can folks expect from your show?
Just, I think the biggest thing with me and DeSean is we're authentic, right? So when you hear certain things, you know it comes from the heart. Where you watch different platforms and TV or podcasts and people say things, you don't know if it's really coming from the heart. You don't know if you can really take that, if they're being politically correct or if they're being biased. With us, it's going to be honest, right? And the best thing is we have a great core with ourselves and other players. So everything we talk about is either from a source, from, you know, insight type information, or just us with our experience and our expertise on the game.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, to piggyback off that, I feel like, you know, we was able to, you know, play at a high level. And I think off of our career and what we was able to, you know, accomplish and, you know, succeed on the football field, transitioning off the field. Like now, you know, we're retired and, you know, McCoy's in the media. You know, I'm kind of in the culture and around, you know, music and industries like that. And for me, it's a lot of intake that we're gathering when we're around these parties or, you know, certain individuals like the upper echelon, you know. So for us to be able to have that insight, like we want to be able to bring it to our fans, to our, you know, community, and just kind of like give them the day in the life or the lifestyles that like these things that are going on, you know, because I think a lot of times when you become a celebrity or you're in this type of, you know, crowd, You know, the average person doesn't get to hear or see about these, you know, interesting topics or interesting, you know, situations that are going on. So for us, I think we're able to dive in deep. We're not being biased. We're straight authentic. We're straight at it. And, you know, shit, some people might not like it. But for us, we're able to, you know, have that respect where we play it at a high level. So when we critique or we say certain things, it's valid. And I think that's what's going to separate our podcast. And, you know, there's nothing off topic. You know what I'm saying? We got a topic of discussion where we say don't bite your tongue, pop your shit. Like, basically, everything we feel, we're going to come out and we're going to say it, man. And if you don't like it, you know, so be it. Yeah. that's us. You know what I'm saying? That's what made us be who we are. And that's why was able to be so successful.
Yeah, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, and I was going to ask kind of how your perspective on football and just on life has changed since you retired, you know, just a couple years ago for both of you.
I think, honestly, for myself, McCoy is probably, you know, like a year or two before me. But, you know, me recently, this past year was my first year. I'm actually being able to enjoy, I think, I would like to say it, life. I think, like, and don't misquote me or interpret what I'm saying. Obviously, being a professional athlete is amazing. You know, you travel, you compete at a high level, you go versus, you know, other high profile players as well too. But I think, like, when you're in your career and in your, you know, that mode, it's go, 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 go. You know, you're never really able to, like, take a deep breath. And even when you do able to take a deep breath, it still goes by so fast when you're vacation or you're off season. So I think now, being removed from playing and, you know, being in that regiment, like, we're able to create our own schedules. We're able to work when we want, where we want. You know, we don't really, McCoy's a little different. He kind of has to answer. Not, I don't want to say on like that, but, you know, he has a job that, you know, he has to kind of watch what he does and how he says it. You know, for me, I'm kind of like a little more open. I don't have anybody to answer to. You know, if I want to speak how I want to speak, you know what I'm saying? Like, now, anything in life, you have to come with, you know, criticism. So, you know, you still got to be careful. But I think for me, just being able to carve out what I want to do, when I want to do it, if I do want to work for this person, if I don't want to work for this person, and I get to see it from a different lens, you know what I'm saying? So I think that's interesting because, you know, for me, I always wanted to be able to, like, retire and live how I want to live. You know what I'm saying? That's the point of working so hard and putting all these times and hours into the game, because now, like, if I wanted to work, I could work. If I don't want to work, I don't have to. You know what I'm saying? Because I was able to, you know, make a lot of money, invest in the right areas, you know, do real estate, you know, help the youth, help the kids. So for me, I just enjoy to be able to wake up. If I wanted to wake up at 10 in the morning, and not be in trouble, not get cussed out by a coach, not get fined. I mean, that's the luxury of it, you know what I'm saying? So being 37, still young, man, you know what I'm saying? Still got a lot of life to live. So I'm just excited for the future.
Yeah, then just to piggyback on Deshaun, I mean, like, so when I retired, I didn't know what to do, right? And I had money and this and that, right? I'm traveling, I'm doing this, and I find myself bored. Right, you got family, you, and I'm spending extra money, spending it, and just having fun because I'm retired. But then it came a point where when I would meet people that didn't know me, they didn't know me as LeSean McCoy, the all pro, all decade running, they didn't know me for that. Hey, what do you do? And I would say, well, I'm a retired NFL player. It's like, it just, and you get what I'm saying? There's no real substance to it. So that's when I started diving. So, okay, I need to have my own schedule. I'm waking up at 11 o'clock some days, I'm waking up at 1 o'clock some days. So when I realized that, like, who am I now? Because a lot of players, I think, once they retire, it's like, who am I? Because you've been a certain person for so long. So now when people ask me, they may not know me, hey, how you doing, old man? What do you do? I have a variety of things. I tell them, well, I'm a TV personality, right? You know, I'm employed by Fox. Oh, they know what that is. I got my own podcast. One of my good friends, one of my good teammates, we have our own podcast. You can check it out. This is what it is, 2510 show. Check it out. Or I say, hey, I'm a developer, right? I have over 250 units, right? And I'm developing my own towns. So now I have something to really talk about. And I think when I retire, I didn't have that. So now when I wake up, right, I have a whole schedule of what I want to do, how I want to do it, who I want to do it with to execute a goal. And I think that's the difference between, I think, some players that retire, they don't have, because people talk about the backup plan, plan B. Well, you can make plan A work for so many years. But then what happens? Kobe Bryant eventually retired. Did what he do? Michael Jordan, he retired. And then what he do? So those are like the models and the guys that I kind of follow after to you know, make my brand bigger to just a football player.
Yeah. Yeah. And LaShawn, you mentioned you're a developer. I saw you just broke ground on an affordable housing project in Harrisburg.
Two of them.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah. What's the initiative behind that?
Just one of them was like, you know, me and my foundation, Shades of Greatness, we've been big in the communities everywhere I played at. And, you know, you do things for the holidays, you give shelter for people. On Christmas, you give gifts to the less fortunate. You know, every year we would give 25 kids for our family, you know, Christmas gifts and et cetera. Thanksgiving, right? We do scholarships each year. So I was like, man, that's impactful, but like, it's for the moment. Right? How can I impact forever? And I started doing development, right? I started going, getting tax credit projects where kids at abandoned homes or messed up houses, burnt down buildings, drug infested neighborhoods. How can I fix all that up? So what I did is I knocked all that stuff down. Now I'm building all type of new apartments and housing, because growing up where I grew up at, like, the projects was a bad thing. What if we could change the narrative and make the projects a good thing? Like, yo, I live in the projects. New marble floors, this and that. Now I start employing people to do the work, people that live in the city, right? A lot of minorities didn't have a chance to develop these projects. They didn't have a chance to even bid for projects to do them. Now I'm hiring people in my own neighborhoods, right? So it was something that we thought about doing to impact the whole neighborhood instead of just having good moments for holidays. Now there's kids that go to school, right? They might have a bad environment, right, where they live at, but now they don't, right? Now they go to school happy. Like, oh, I'm going to my house, come over. We got nice floors, we got nice kitchens. So that was the whole mindset of it.
Yeah, yeah, very cool. Yeah, and Deshaun, you mentioned you're in a real estate investor yourself. Tell me what you're up to there.
Oh, yeah, so I actually got a few multi-units, you know, some single-family homes as well, too, that, you know, kind of like build down and, you know, broke down, rebuilt up, and turned around like flipper. We do like flippers. I have a partner that I deal with.
That cash.
Like a banker that really I kind of like rely on to find like certain areas. And, you know, for me, I'm trying to get into the affordable housing as well, too. It's a little tougher here in Los Angeles, as, you know, this is Hollywood. And, you know, this area is kind of driven by real estate. So for me, being a young guy that grew up in, you know, South Central Crenshaw District, we didn't really have these opportunities. You know what I'm saying? We grew up with, you know, barely able to put food on our tables. And for me now, being able to have generational wealth, being able to, you know, set my kids up for, you know, their kids' kids. And, you know, something about the youth that, you know, I'm very attracted to is because I was once a kid. You know, I was once in them chairs. I was once in them seats. So for me, I just know the obstacles we face growing up here in Los Angeles. And, you know, I'm very passionate about, you know, going back and reaching and like pulling them out. Cause a lot of times we get stuck in those areas.
They need
and
that.
There's no foresee to say, oh, you know, I want to be like him. I'm not able to touch him. Like when you want to be like a celebrity and you're able to touch that celebrity. And when I say touch him physically, pull up to these areas, rub elbows, encourage them, you know, train them if it's a camp. You know what I'm saying? And McCoy came to one of my camps back in years ago in Crenshaw. So,
a lot of kids.
Yeah, you know, that's what we want to do. We want to inspire these kids for change, man. And at the end of the day, what better person is it to do it by myself? You know, a guy that's, you know, born and raised in the area that's, you know, not one of them guys that makes it and doesn't go back. You know what I'm saying? I love my community. I love my hood. And, you know, I just like to inspire change, man.
And the crazy thing is, real quick, so where we shoot our podcast at when we're in person, Deshaun, he owns that building. So, right?
Yes, sir. Heck yeah, man. Yeah, that's the, and you know what's crazy? I've been having that building for like 8 to 10 years now. And it's like, man, what am I going to do in there? Even though I've been doing things.
10 years?
You know, yeah, 10 years, bro. I've been having it since I played in Washington. So, you know, I just used it for personal space. You know, I had the studio. I had, like, a record label that some of my guys would go record. Mm-hmm. But, like, now getting older, it's like instead of just having that place and it's not, you know, bringing in income, it's like, nah, let's throw some pop-up shows. Let's do a podcast. Let's rent it out for other people to come use the studio. I mean, it's just so many things. Parties. You know, it's so many other things. So, yeah, man, that's definitely, you know, owning and investing your own, man. Owning your own and investing in your own, you know?
Mm-hmm. Let's get into some NFL topics. So I'll start with LaShawn here because you retired after the 2020 season. LaShawn, you hung around a couple more years. But do you think in just those few years you've seen significant changes in the NFL since you left? Or is it basically the same league?
I think the league has changed. it's not as aggressive, not as tough, right? I think when I got into the league, it was still some of that toughness and hard-nosed football. Then it slowly, right, digressed a little bit. And then now, I think it's more built for the offense for sure, right? I mean, if you just look at the rules, like, they want you to score points. You know what I'm saying? And, like, the new rule just came out for the defense where you can't – the roll tackle. Like, I've been tackled like that for so many times. So it's more like to protect the quarterbacks and the offense, put points up. And it's not as aggressive. But I will say it is a lot faster. And it's becoming a passing more offense, passing more league, right? You see a lot of the running backs, even the good ones, they can't really get the big contracts because – we're not running the ball a lot unless we're in the playoffs, right? But the top-tier dudes, they get paid because they can catch, they can run, like Christian McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara, them type of guys. So it changed a little bit. I think if me and Deshaun played in this era, man, it would really be scary. We have a lot more stats.
For sure. Yeah, they got an extra game, too. So I look at it as, you know, for me...
And more money. Let me not forget that. And more money.
The money's gonna always increase. You know what I'm saying? You got these TV deals that are getting bigger. These, you know, that the salary caps are, you know, increasing every year. So, like I say, for myself, I look back. You know, I had a great career. You know, over 11,000 career yardage. But for me, I never really felt like. And it's crazy to say this. I never really felt like the vocal guy. You know what I'm saying? When I say that, like, had the crazy targets. 10-plus targets per game, 150 to 200 targets per year. Like, I never really got that. Like, everything I got was always, let's try for the home run. If it ain't there, it's kind of, like, hard to really get me involved. So, like, now, like a Tyreek Hill, like, it's so many different ways they're getting him involved. They're motioning him. He almost has, like, a running start. It's almost like the UFL league back in the day when they had to run a start to get to the line, and then it's like they already got speed and they're just running by these guys. So I'm looking at all that stuff like Andy Reid, Marty Morningwood, they were great offensive coordinators, but they weren't putting guys in position like they're doing now. Like, I'm looking at Andy now and how his offense has changed, and it's just like, man, if I was to be put in certain situations like these guys are now, man, it's crazy, man. And I'm just excited for it because, like McCoy said, it's a passing game and it's all about scoring points. You know what I'm saying? Tyreek Hill has over 110 catches the past 3 years. Like, that is insane. The most catches I had in 1 year is 83, and, like, that kind of, like, surpassed every other. Like, I think my average was, like, 50 to 60 catches. So just imagine, I was breaking 1,000 yards with 50, 60 catches. If I had 100 catches, I'm for sure going over 2,000 yards. So I definitely see it like, man, it's crazy nowadays.
Yeah. Yeah. So the Eagles are playing. Their first game is going to be in Brazil next year. And I've the NFL's
expanding. I might go.
Oh, yeah? All right, nice.
They said they're going to give me a flight to go, so I might go.
Yeah. NFL's playing games internationally basically as much as they can right now. Everything they can fit into the schedule. As a player, is that an exciting thing to go overseas, play a game, then come back? Or is it just kind of too exhausting to have a game, you know, in another continent as part of the schedule?
Yeah, I think it's definitely draining. I think, you know, the time frame alone, you know, time difference, especially when we're so driven on, like, you know, our bodies and our sleep patterns and, you know, taking care of the body. But what I will say, it's a great experience, you know, to be able to go out there and play in front of those fans, to be able to get experience to play in, like, you know, cross country, or if it's Brazil, London's. I mean, their excitement for the National Football League alone is amazing. So I think one of those experiences are always great to have in your career. And if you go a whole career without playing in an overseas game, you're missing out, man. Because I think, you know, when I played in London, I mean, at Wembley Stadium, I had a blast, man. To hear the different fans, their lingo, and
you know, all
they have over, huh?
Who'd y'all play?
We played the Bengals. We played Cincinnati when I was in Washington. But just it's as far as, like, you know, it's a soccer, man. They're football and soccer. So, I mean, their culture, they're not used to having, like, the, you know, the NFL out there. So they go crazy over football. So that experience, man, even when you're just out in the city, like, you know, people are running up to you. They got your jersey on. You're not thinking you're going to get the love that you get over there. So I think it's definitely a great experience that the NFL keeps doing that. And, you know, this year is the first year ever that Brazil's hosting a game, NFL game. So I'm definitely excited. Hopefully, me and McQuay could get out there, man. Maybe we could do our podcast.
I swear I was about to say that, yo. I was going to call Howie and Mr. Lurie and say, yo, we need to come out there to do our podcast. But I love it, though, right? You talk about, like, American football is one of the biggest sports, right, in America, right? If you look at all the money that's generated, the NFL is topping all of it. From viewership to all that, right? They had a big thing with Caitlin Clark. She they surpassed 24 million views, right? That was more than a lot of the different sports. Yeah. But not NFL, though. Not the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's like everything else. Yeah.
So now what they're trying to do with NFL, and when they see that, like, okay, damn, we're doing well. So now they're trying to make it global. We're not a global sport, right? All them soccer teams are. So now the NFL, they going to Germany now. They going to Brazil. They in London. So now they try to make it a global sport. I love it because it makes the awareness of NFL way bigger, not just in America. And when you start doing that, you're generating way more money, right? More fans. If Deshaun Jackson, you know, his jersey's selling at whatever it may be, now dudes from London and dudes from Brazil, they buying it. That's more money for him. So it makes more money for the game, and I love it when you make the game and the shield way bigger.
Yeah. Last thing I'll ask you, got a 17th game now. 18th feels like it's coming at some point. Is that too much? Or
it's going to come.
Yeah. Is more football just good, or is it, or are we getting to be too much?
He don't care. He's a wide receiver. He ain't getting
You gotta look at it from this perspective. I mean, anything to drive more money to the game, that's what it's about, man. This game is driven off of money, off of income, and how can we continuously strike more deals? You know what I'm saying? More TV time, guess what that means? More ancillary dollars. You know what I'm saying? So I think Roger Goodell does a great job, man. He's a great commissioner. I think he represents the players and the NFL. He does a great job, man, and it's tough because he's, like, in the middle. He has to kind of, like, be for the players and for the owners, and I think he does a great job of getting the most out of it. But, I mean, they got to start doing something. They got to start leaving records alone, though, because now these guys got an extra game and an extra two games. Like, they need to let the records from the past be the records and, like, just start a new era record.
You know what I'm saying? Because
it's kind of almost like an easier advantage.
How you grading two players or two generations where one's getting extra games, right? And you got the rules just changed. So that's a good point.
All right, we got to leave it there. But Deshaun Jackson, LeSean McCoy, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you.
25-10 for the win, man. Y'all type in, man. Subscribe, like, man. Follow us.
Come on,
man. We the new way.
That's it for today. Leave us a rating or review on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Or share this episode with an Eagles fan or anyone else who might enjoy it. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.